You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say, but it wasn't going to happen here.
It's that time for the Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguy podcast right here, CLNS Media. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, we've seen this before with the Celtics. It was a very frustrating game against Atlanta. They blew a 30-point lead. And just because I'm a New England sports fan, this stuff really irritates me still. I understand they have a comfortable lead. I understand they're the best team in the East. And I understand that they'll probably go to the NBA Finals. It's happened before. And I know we'll be able to segue to the Milwaukee game. The same thing happened to them. It's just very frustrating for me to see this, that it burns me.
I'm pissed off. I funny how I found out. I was watching Caitlin Clark. I didn't want to watch the game. I figured they'll kick Atlanta's ass and, you know, no worry about it. And I didn't know till I saw the score on the crawl that they had lost the game. And it wasn't until about an hour later that I saw on X somebody complaining about a Celtic fan fuming about blowing a 30-point lead. And I said, oh, my God. And so I didn't know any details until the next doing when I read about it. Okay. I thought they had this out of their system. I deluded myself to think that these guys, this is why they are not the favorites. This is why Denver remains the favorite until further notice. They have proven themselves, and the Celtics have not. And I'm talking about you, Jason Tatum, as much as I am about you, Mr. Brown. Everybody talked about Brown. It's Tatum's the one that's got this act up, to come up big and not do dumb things and not do logical things and do the right thing in these moments, okay? But they're all collect. When you blow a 30-point lead, it's collective, of course. But ultimately, I'm telling you, this is why I love watching them. I'm rooting like hell for them, but I don't trust them yet. I don't trust them. And this is Exhibit A, and there's no way that this should happen to that degree, that you blow a 30-point lead to it. I'm sorry. And they didn't even have Trae Young.
So right.
And now I know the Celtics are playing shorthanded, but they've proven that they can play shorthanded because they do have, in fact, the best 1-9 in the league. They got the best 1-5, 1-7, 6-7, 8-9. They got the best talent in the league, but that doesn't mean you're going to win and necessarily. And they've proven that with this. So they have something to prove. And starting tonight, as we speak on the morning of the rematch against Atlanta and that strange scheduling that doesn't happen too often. And you have a two-game series. But with the 3 days, 2 days off, it's bizarre scheduling. Absolutely,
yeah, it's crazy. It's weird.
I mean, strange schedule. So anyway, so I'm with you, Gary. I think we deserve to be angry. And I think they got something to prove. And I want to see how they react to this thing. It's about the big picture, folks. They're going to have the best seed. They're going to finish with 60-some wins. They're going to do all this nice stuff. And then the real stuff's going to matter and after that. And they have to prove themselves to me, that's for damn sure.
Well, I'm with you. And I'm glad you agree with me because I was wondering if I was just being a little too hard considering how well they played this season. But And I understand what Joe Mazzulla's doing. He's playing a lot of different guys. You know, he's emptying the bench, and I understand that. But with 7 minutes to go, he puts everybody back in.
Yeah, no, I like the way he's handling it. This in the general terms, and but they just didn't do the job that they should do. Yeah, no, it does in the big picture. You know, it means they're going to win 66 instead of 67. You know, that's all it's going to mean in that regard. More than likely. But that's not the issue. The issue is who they really are and what they get and what they're made of for April and May and June. That's what our issue is now.
Right. And now you wonder, are they just a regular season darling?
Yeah. You know, and the other thing I want to remind people in general terms is that when you're looking at people and you're thinking, well, they're not going to be this team won't be a contender, that I can give you enough examples over the years of surprise teams that caught fire in the playoffs and went a long way. Maybe they didn't win the championship, but they got to the finals. Celtics encountered two of them in the 70s with the Rockets twice. And there was a year, and don't forget the Knicks in 99, they were the eighth seed. They got to the finals. And the Celtics themselves in 69, I know people say, oh my God, that's the Pleistocene era. Well, it was real basketball, folks, I'm telling you. And they finished fourth in the Eastern Conference and were not remotely considered to be a favorite, and they won the championship. So teams can come out of nowhere and catch fire at the right time. So don't think that they're going to waltz to the finals, because they're not.
I think a perfect current example of that is Miami.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Miami, right. So that we got that. We encountered that phenomenon. Absolutely.
What I liked about this game as an NBA fan and as a basketball fan, aside, you know, the Celtic fan in me was ticked off like you. But also, it just sheds a light on how damn good you have to be to play in the league. I mean, DeAndre Hunter goes out. He hits the three-pointer at the end. He has 24 points. Trae Young's not playing. All of a sudden, the Atlanta guys go, wait a minute. We're going to make a statement. And that's why, you know, I defend Scalabrine a lot with people. You know, people will, you know, make joke about Scal, and I say, listen, if you're one of the 300 best players to play in this league, you're pretty damn good.
You're absolutely right.
And that's why when you play a team, you know, you give a team like Atlanta, you know, life, you it just brings the focus on how good you have to be to play in this league.
It's one other thing that I know we want to get to, because we can tie it in with the last night's comeback that the Lakers made in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee, and why these things seem to happen. It's not exclusive to the Celtics. We're concerned about them because they're a team that should win. It should be competing for a championship. But this 3-point shot world that we live in,
right?
I think this is at the root of the problem.
Well, games never over.
You live by it and die by it. Now, right. I'll give you the numbers on last night with just to show you how the game is being played now.
In last night's game, the Lakers did rally 128-124 over Milwaukee in double overtime. Lakers were down 19. Continue.
Never had a lead until the second overtime, which is, you know, if I'm a Laker fan, I love that game. You know, that's the kind of game you smile all day long that they could win a game like that. But Milwaukee took 119 shots. 68 twos and 51 threes. LA took 108 shots, 64 twos and 44 threes. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. In fact, that I was looking for it to be 50% threes. But what I'm saying is, you know, when you're living by it and dying by it, and it's not easy, apparently. We're learning this as we go along. It's not easy to shift your mentality to, hey, we're not in the three mode tonight. We better go to two. And people... And you know, stop the bleeding by just, we got to get to the line. We got to do a set of play. Well, run a play to get my best shooter. Oh my God, the dreaded 17 footer, you know, although maybe there's a diminishing number of guys that can make that shot anymore. I don't know. Maybe not, you know, not everybody is DeMar DeRozan who doesn't take threes, but it's the mentality of the game now that you just keep firing those threes. And if the other team, then their luck has turned around. Now they're hitting them, and you know it's about if we took the three out of these games, I don't think these things would happen as often as they do.
Well, now. And I think that's why the league loves the three. And I personally, I know we disagree. I love the three because that means the game's never over.
Well, yeah, and I hate it because it distorts the game and
right
and it's
I get
you know
that.
side play we can have you know. All right. So anyway, the Lakers. I think the most interesting thing left in the big picture in the NBA for the remaining season is the Western Conference play-in possibility.
Right.
I'm looking at the numbers right now. Okay. The 7, 8, 9, 10 are as follows. And that's who's the play-in. If people you know remember, remind them. Sacramento 42-30, Phoenix 42-30, tied. LA 40-32, two games behind. Golden State 37-34. They were 10. But guess what, folks? Houston is one half game behind the Golden State. Houston has sneaked up on the rail. You know, we knew they had young raw talent.
Right.
When Steven Silas had these guys. And now, you know, they're coming to life. Jalen Green. I mean, you know, so Houston's right there. And they could be in and Golden State out, you know. And Golden State, you know, you just, you know, if you let them in, you know, you're going to have to pay respect. But they might not get in. So that'll be something. So I'm just keeping an eye on that one. But I think that's going to be the interesting thing down the stretch.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I need to ask, we've talked about Anthony Davis a lot, and he's been hurt, and we understand that, and what a shame. 34 points, 23 rebounds last night without LeBron. And, you know, Reeves and Russell had terrific games as well for the Lakers. As best you can, if Anthony Davis is healthy for his career, where would you put him?
If he were healthy for his career, he's entering into first of all, he's in the top 20 all time. So I'll start with that. He's a top 20 all time player. If he gets a long enough career, you know, that he won't be the big what if of our time. And he could go as high as in the 15s. I mean, he's a very skilled player, very skilled player. This is a guy who in his NCAA championship game went 0 for 10, and you can make an argument was the best player on the floor.
Right.
I saw that game, you know, block shots, rebounds, passing. He knows how to play. And it's just a matter of staying healthy, and no question. I mean, not everybody can get 34-23. That's pretty good stuff, and he can do that stuff. I'm an admirer of his talent, and I want the guy to stay healthy, and he deserves a career, and he's a wonderful player. Yeah, the guy that fascinates me on that team because you know, not too long ago, a little more than a calendar year ago, I didn't know who the hell he was. And that's Austin Reeves.
Right.
And starting with last year's playoffs, he emerged. His coming out party was the playoffs last year. And now he's a nice player. He's a really nice player. By the way, as compared to career triple-double last night. And anyway, the Lakers, you know, you don't want them around. once again, it seems like I say this every week, every time we get together. Nobody's going to be clapping their hands and say, oh, goody, goody, we're playing the Lakers in the
right.
playoffs. Period. They're just not. And, and one of the X factor guys there is Russell. If Russell plays under control and you know, plays a solid game, he's got skill. You know, he's been maligned at different ways over his career, but he's got some skill. And also I got a sneaky good guy that, you know, that people don't know much about. Is Dinwiddie. They picked up Dinwiddie and he had a big game last night. You know, you don't want to mess around with the Lakers in the playoffs. And if So I'm saying they're, and they look, they're, I'm sure they're going to be, I'm not pretty sure they're going to be there in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
I want them in.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
I want them in.
You're right.
I want the Lakers in. I want them in.
I got one for you that I must be just a complete basketball nerd. I don't know why, but nobody is talking about something that is one, but it's a phenomenal thing going on. Not only in the NBA, but in the world of sports. And nobody's talking about it. Daniel Gafford. Are you aware what he's doing?
Yes. Because you told me.
Most people don't know who he is, first of all. Okay, so for the record, folks, Daniel Gafford is a 6'9 hybrid big guy out of the University of Arkansas. He was born in El Dorado, Arkansas, which is the home of Lou Brock. I just want to fully give you all the information you need here. He was a 2019 second round pick, number 38 in the draft by the Bulls. Last year, he got traded from Chicago to Washington to Dallas in the same year. Okay. In last year's, in the 2021 playoffs, as a Bull, excuse me, he shot 84.6% from the floor. You heard what I said. Nobody talked about it. This year, as we speak, in his last 10 games, he is 64 for 76. Do you know what I said?
I did. I also read it. Yeah.
He has made, and going into last night, he had made 33 straight field goals, which is too shy of the record set by a guy we're going to talk about, some guy named Chamberlain. And from and that was set from March 5th to March 13th. He made 33 straight field goals. And right now he's shooting 69% for the season. As I said, in his last 10 games, 64 for 76. Now, granted, we know we're talking about dunks and putbacks, clearly, almost exclusively, right?
The anti-three hero. The anti-three hero.
Dunks and putbacks, which leads us, folks, to Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes.
And the youngins who have only heard of him like he's, you know, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln or somebody that nobody they can relate to, okay? Okay. Let me just give you a few things, factoids about Wilt Chamberlain. And, okay. First of all, folks, here's some of the categories in which he led the league during his career. Minutes played 8 times. Field goals made 7. Field goals attempted 7. Field goal percentage 9. Led the league in field goal percentage 9 times. Free throws attempted 9. Free throws made 1. That's what, you know. Assists 1. 78 triple doubles, including 53 of them in 2 seasons of 66, 67, 67, 68. And here's how he reinvented himself. Totally reinvented himself. In 1961-62, when he averaged 50.4 points a game, he, in 80 games, he took 3,159 shots, 3,159. 11 years later, as a Laker, playing all 82 games, he took 586 shots.
Wow.
Oh, but did I mention that he shot 73% from the floor?
and also, he's playing with Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, correct?
Yeah, well, Baylor's retired by that time.
Oh, okay.
Baylor retired in the 71-72 season, early in the season. And but the next year, Baylor's totally gone and West is there. That's a massive reinvention when you reduce your number of shot attempts by 2,600.
That's incredible.
Okay. Now, he wanted to lead the league in field goal percentage. And he stopped shooting anything but tips and dunks.
Right.
Almost exclusively. You know, he had a turnaround jumper that people wanted him to take. You know what I mean? And hoping to hit the first one in the game. And this is the theory back in the mid-60s when he decided that he's going to show the world, I'm not some big freak that is just 7 feet tall. I'm an athlete, which he was.
Right. Well, athlete. He was. Sure. Track and field.
He was a track star at Kansas and all that. So, and of course, volleyball. And okay. He had a turnaround jumper, and everybody hoped he would make one early, so then he'd want to keep taking them the rest of the night, you know? So Russell would let him make the first one. You know, that'd be good, you know? Then, okay. By the time he got to the Lakers, he wouldn't shoot. unless it was a, he didn't shoot anymore. I mean, yeah, 82, that's 4 2s. That's only five. That's fewer than five shots a game.
Did that hurt the Lakers?
No, they that well that season the in 71-72, they won the championship.
Right.
And the next year they got beaten in the Western Conference Finals by the Bucks.
Okay. Oh okay. Yeah, Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, but excuse me, they beat au contraire. They did win. They beat the Bucks, and they lost in the finals to the Knicks, 73.
Okay.
Okay. They beat the Bucks. He outplayed Kareem at age 36, he was, or 7, in that series. Okay. But I just want people to understand what we're talking about, this, what a phenomenon he was. But Daniel Gafford, no one's talking about this. I can't believe that it's not worthy of somebody's attention. The guy shot 64 for 76. He's missed 12 shots in 10 games.
It's worthy of Bob Ryan's attention.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Now, there's a tournament going on involving lesser paid athletes, but no longer unpaid, right? And we're going to have that tournament in Boston.
Did you say unpaid?
I said no longer unpaid.
Oh, no longer unpaid.
It involves lesser paid athletes than those big games, but no longer unpaid athletes. It's for a basketball championship of the colleges and universities of
yes.
America. Yes. And we have a segment of it right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, and what do you think about that?
Well, I love having a tournament here. And by the way, every time they have it here, it's first time was 09. We've had it. This is the fourth time we've had either a regional or a sub-regional. People love it. They love, first of all, outsiders. You know, people come from.
People come. I mean, that's the big thing. People come from outside.
They want to come to Boston. It's a tourist attraction.
Sure. I wonder how many people there are from Boston.
Well, according to what I read in the Globe this morning, they immediately sell out the tickets when they put them on sale.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. I just don't know. I think I'd like to know, and it's impossible to figure out.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, what's the percentage of people who are coming in from, I don't know, from other parts of the country to see Boston?
Because
it's just not a college basketball town.
Yeah, we're not noted for being a college basketball town.
Right.
And we aren't. But this tournament, you know, belies that to a degree. By the way, I want to talk about quickly a couple of coaches of note. One, John Calipari has just been extended at Kentucky, and we learned that had they chosen to terminate him, they would have been on the hook for $33 million.
Yep. So he's
that's a buyout, folks. That's a significant buyout.
But why would you fire Cal?
Well, because I said it would have been ridiculous. They're not going to get a better coach. You know,
well, that's
the problem is they've only won one championship since he's been there, and that was 12 years ago. And they have this, you know, this self, you know, this, that's who they are. But they wouldn't have gotten a better coach.
Bob, let's face it. I mean, everything has changed when it comes to, He brought in, and the rule or the feeling was you had to win with freshmen, right, who were going to go to the NBA.
And then
he did that once, and then it didn't really work after that. So they've kind of had to change the way that they're recruiting, I assume. And let's face it, there are other schools that Kentucky's competing with.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And a lot of high power. But that's just the Kentucky, you know, is
mentality. I get it.
In Kentucky, I'll give you the equipment. Kentucky is to basketball what Notre Dame is to football in terms of the self-delusion of its fans. I mean, there's nobody more pompous and unrealistic than Notre Dame football fans in the world of football.
Right.
You know, they think they have a divine right, you know, and Kentucky, it's the same way in basketball with Kentucky.
Right.
You grew up in Kentucky, you know, you feel that you have a divine right to win. And Cal has delivered successful seasons to a degree, but only the one championship. And then, you know, and the one year they should have won, I think he messed up because he should have played Devin Booker more. And he was, that was the year he was playing two platoons, basically.
Right.
The playing time of 10 guys, and his best player clearly was Booker, and they should have won. And I called him accountable for that one. Okay. But other than that, no. And I'm a John Calipari fan, unlike a lot of people around here. So that's fine. Anyway, Cal's back and they don't have to pay him $33 million. Although they're paying him a lot of money to start with. The other coach in the news, and I don't know if you've been following this at all, Garrett, is Kim Mulkey at LSU.
Yes.
Did you see the rant and listen to it that she
made?
I
did not, but I did see the headline.
It was almost chilling. Her venom. She like leapt off the stage, denouncing Kent Babb of the Washington Post, who's apparently is working on a story. She's referred to him as a sleazy reporter. He's anything but.
But fill everybody in, Bob. What's the backstory on the article?
Backstory is that Kim Mulkey is the most controversial coach in college basketball, women's college basketball. She has won four championships. She is a cantankerous, aggressive, outspoken in many ways. Her fashion sense is a source of great delight and amusement for people. And I can urge anybody, you can go find it easily. Just go Google her up and go right. Get her longstanding fashion stuff. That's fine. That's part of the fun. She's a great coach. There's no question. But boy, is she it's one of these people that I think she has to have enemies. It makes her fuels her ire. But she's claiming she told us that he's been working on a story for 2 years, and she's resisted him giving him an interview for 2 years. And the reason is that she said he wrote a hit piece about Brian Kelly. And I just did a little research and it was not a hit piece. She's right. Crazy. It's wrong. Totally wrong. And so then she made a big fuss last week because she said after telling us that she wouldn't talk to him for 2 years. And then last week there was some time thing where he wanted to talk to her through 48 hours. And she said, well, we're preparing for the tournament. I don't have time to do this. This is antagonizing. He's trying to harm my chances of our team winning and all that. And it was, you got to go, people, go Google this rant of Kim Mulkey. So anyway, that's the story. The story hasn't appeared yet. But we're waiting for this story. She said that he interviewed players specifically to get them to say negative things about her. There's no evidence of this. No one's come out and confirmed that at all. But she went absolutely crazy last week. Meanwhile, you know, LSU's, you know, they're back, they're a contender and they're the defending champion. And the women's thing, Final Four, women's tournament is fascinating because you got the Caitlin Clark phenomenon.
Right.
I was saying something about that in a minute. And UConn back in a mix. Paige Beckers. And did you notice that Gino Auriemma declared that Paige Beckers is the best player in America? You know, and if you look at the metrics, everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Out of which, you know, keep the fire going. You know,
Just
turned 70. You know, he's still got his fastball. You know, here's the thing, Garrett. 2 days ago, I was having my morning coffee at my favorite place in Hingham, the Red Eye Roaster, down at the Hingham Harbor, and talking with Bob Weeks, the proprietor, and a gentleman I do not know we were having a three-way conversation. And after we segued from the end for the men, we got talking about the women and you know, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon and the whole thing. And we all had watched her and had opinions and all. And I said, you know something? I said, think about this, that 2 years ago, forget about 10 years ago, no one would be having this conversation. And yet right now, this conversation that three males are having about the women's tournament is being held simultaneously at this moment in time in each of the 50 states somewhere.
Right.
Like that. They have, and that's how far, that's what she has meant and what it is the benefit that she has brought to college basketball. Now, Gino may be right, by the way, about Paige Beckers, and that's fine. You know, don't forget Juju Watkins out in SC and you know, Hannah Hidalgo in Notre Dame. Suddenly these are names that people who are casual fans are getting to know. But think about that. Would you agree that I am almost undoubtedly right that with that conversation that three males were having was not unique to America at 9 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday, on Monday.
She's changed the narrative for basketball.
She's the face of college basketball now.
She's the face of college basketball.
I mean, there's no male even close. I mean, the player of the year is it's fine, but no, nobody's male close. It's interesting. It really is. So,
It's fantastic, and it's great for the game. It's great for young people, all the way around. It's just tremendous upside. But she is, and she also, to me, I haven't studied. But from I haven't studied her, I haven't covered her like I have a lot of athletes, before. Yeah. But she seems to embrace it.
Oh.
She's got some swagger.
Is a star. She's been, and kind of preparing for this. And particularly when of course, one of the great things that many people don't know or realize is that if it was going to happen, and there's a good New York Times had a good story to this effect. If it was going to happen, it's no surprise it's someone from the state of Iowa, because Iowa has been in the forefront, such as it was, of women's basketball in a way that most other states weren't. They were the second to last state to get rid of the six-person game. That was the college women's basketball was six people, right into the 60s. And the last state was Oklahoma. But they were the next to last. But the women's tournament was always as big or bigger than the men's. Hey, and your state, your home state is like...
Oh, Maine. Sydney Blodgett.
They may be the bronze medal winner, but certainly they're there. But Iowa has been in the forefront of women's basketball for a long time. And so it makes sense that this great player would emerge in coming out of the state of Iowa. So, she's a star. She embraces it. She's not, this isn't Nikola Jokic that nobody wants. He doesn't want to talk about
it. Oh, no, she's great. No, she loves
this. She gets it. And that's why the WNBA is drooling, waiting for her to get in there. But the thing is, it's going to open a door. People are going to be saying next year, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Who's the next Caitlin Clark?
Right. Exactly. So this is a tremendous development. And so this year, I've never had as much interest. I mean, I know obviously I never had any interest, but never as much as in the women's tournament as this year, to see how it's going to play out, not just for her, but for Kim Mulkey and for Juju Watkins out there in SC and for Geno. I mean, UConn, they're in the mix. They're not a favorite, but you wouldn't be stunned if they got that final four.
Bob, before we go, any thoughts on the men's NCAA tournament coming up?
Yeah, the tournament, it's very simple. The best team is UConn. There is no question in my mind that they're the best team, but they have lost three times and they're not invincible. They're not an all-time great team. I don't know if they're as good as last year's team. They're right there. But point is, if it were 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7, I'd bet the house, the rent money, the everything on UConn. But it's not. We know the nature of the tournament.
Right.
You can have a bad night, or you can run into somebody with a great night, and you could lose. They can lose, but they ought to win. They're the best team. There's no doubt in my mind, but that doesn't mean that there aren't a few teams that can beat them, including teams in their own league who have beaten them, like Creighton, for example. So UConn. But it's a chalk tournament this year. There's nothing resembling a Cinderella. The lowest seed is NC State, and of course they've won two championships in their time, and they're out of the ACC. As you know, they're not a minnow,
Right.
So there's nothing. And my favorite story in it is Gonzaga, who is the 25th straight year they've been in this tournament, and 26th straight, excuse me, I think. Yeah, well, since 99. And ninth straight Sweet 16, which is, that's a phenomenal achievement.
That's amazing.
Because
that's
amazing. It's one thing to win that. The conference is not a top-flight conference, the West Coast Conference.
Sure.
That's okay. But it's another thing to get in the tournament and keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Right.
To get to the final 16. 9 straight years, Mark Few, what he's done there is you cannot praise him enough. So that's good. Now I'm looking for, I'm going to games in Boston. I'm going to Final Four. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm rooting. I'm unabashedly rooting for UConn to win.
Does Goodman take you to dinner?
Well, he doesn't have to at home. I'll be, you know.
No, I mean at the Final Four.
Oh, the Final Four. Yes, we'll work on that one. We'll have a week to get we'll straighten that one out. That's it.
That poor guy's going to be exhausted.
Oh my God, I know he does. This season, I can't imagine his schedule. Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, listen, we will talk. We are going to record again on Sunday night after the weekend.
Yes.
So there'll be a lot to talk about. Great stuff. And we'll talk to you then. Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguay, brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, enjoy the tourney.
Thanks, Gary. We'll talk to you. Bye-bye.